It's time to love cats. The Purrcast is on. I'm Nathan Hughes. Thank you for listening. Hi, folks. Today's a good day because I get to tell you about one of the best gifts I've ever received. I'll remind you right quickly of how I pointed out last episode, there's more than one thing going on at a time. So today, that's going to happen again, and we're going to go back to Dakota's first cat show. It happened at Arlington Heights, Illinois, at Arlington International Racecourse, which was a horse racing track that had been a fixture in the region for years and has closed in the last year. But our very first show was there. It was the closest one to home, and it was in conjunction with the Chicagoland Family Pet Expo. You might remember me saying how I emailed the ring clerk that I didn't know anything and to please help. And she was kind enough to do that and to describe briefly how a show worked. But when I got there, it was all new. Had to find out where to go. When you get there, there's a room full of empty tables, big long tables covered with plastic, and you find your name, and that's your written on the plastic, and that's your benching spot. Back then, I didn't have a kitty condo yet. I had a big wire cage, so I went and set that up. I was quick to find out I was the only one in the room, and it's a big room, that had that. I needed to get a kitty condo, both for ease of handling and for the cat's comfort, and I would by the next show. But I set up the cage, and it's just Dakota, and I brought blankets to put over it so he'd have some privacy, and only have one side open so he could look out towards me but not be distracted by all sides. Benched to my right was another first-time exhibitor and also another household pet owner. Her cat had been a semi-feral, a stray, and she had adopted it, fed it, it adopted them. It was a mutual thing. Still a little skittish socially, but they had been to a groomer, got the cat looking good, and decided to do their first cat show. That's great. At least this is not somebody I'm going to bother too much with my ignorance. Bench to my left was a new breeder. She had been breeding Maine Coon cats for less than a year, she said. Her name was Nicole. And she was showing a cat that had just moved from a kitten to being a cat for show purposes. And that happens at 8 months old. The window for showing a kitten is very short. They have to be between 4 and 8 months old. Any older than 8 months, they are forever a cat for show purposes, an adult cat. I looked in her kitty condo at her cat and was immediately stopped in my tracks. This cat was one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen. You never would have known she was 8 months old. You would have thought she was much older because she was big. She was bigger than Dakota. Her official color designation is Brown Classic Torby. And what that means, Torby is a combination of tabby and tordy. Tordy means the gold, black, and brown colors, and tabby means stripes. If you ever see an M on the forehead, that's definitely a tabby. She has stripes and combinations of brown, gold, and black patches. Just striking. The Maine Coon ears with the ear tufts, which I found out are called lynx tips after the wildcat, the lynx. Just stunning looking. And Nicole told me that she was kind of nervous today. She hadn't eaten since she'd been there. And I said, can I offer a treat? I had salmon treats that were no artificial stuff, no fillers, just salmon, freeze-dried. And she said, sure. And she took one from me. And I just admired her all weekend long. I found out that she had been born in the Ukraine and that Nicole had her flown over, bought her and had her flown over and had gone to New York to meet her flight and to bring her home to start a new breeding line. She was a new breeder. And that's how she came to be here. That's how she immigrated, I guess you should say. If I recall correctly, she had competed in shows at least once as a kitten. So it wasn't her first show. But I was busy with Dakota. I was having a great time with him. But I would watch her, and I went and saw a couple of her rings when Dakota was asleep. And I asked Nicole if I could hold her. Just after the show was over, while we're all getting ready to go home, can I hold her? She said, sure. Okay. Got that to look forward to. So it was a Friday night, Saturday, Sunday show. So on Sunday afternoon, everybody's breaking down their benching areas and getting ready to go. I said, okay, can I hold her now? Sure. Just go ahead and get her out. So I did. Let me backtrack just a bit here. When I say the first time I saw her, I was stopped in my tracks. Part of it is not just being awed by her beauty. Part of it was also, folks, to put it best, I think, is to say she looks a little like a bobcat. Her size, her markings. I've often thought that if she ever got loose and got lost and was just kind of poking around trying to find her way, there would be more than a few people who would see her and not know exactly what they were seeing. One of the best things, in my opinion, about the Maine Coon breed is the wide variation in appearance you can get in color and coat pattern. You can get them anywhere from solid black to solid white and everywhere in between. She looks like a little wildcat, Eustina does. To be blunt, she looks like she could do some damage. And that's part of the stopping me in my tracks. Her appearance kind of inspires you to approach her carefully the first time you see her. And I did. But Nicole said over and over, I asked about her personality. Is she aggressive? Is she territorial? And she said, no, she's just sweet. Well, when I reached in and picked her up, that is exactly what I found. Just sweet. I held her and wrapped her up, and she was heavier than she looked even. And I wrapped her up in my arms and got her comfortable where she could look around. Kind of carried her like a football in front of my body. And once I got her situated, she relaxed totally and just started looking around. I still have the pictures of the first time I held her. So we walk a few steps, look at different things, and finally it's like it dawns on her, hey, who's got me? And she looked up at me, and I saw her looking up, and I looked down at her, and she craned her neck upwards and gave me a nose boop. Okay, stick a fork in me. I'm done. What do you want? You can have it. I mean, I was head over heels over her at that point. And she was such a gentle manner, so calm. As I'm recording this, I'm looking at her and she's looking at me like she's trying to decide, should I go over there? Do I need to be petted? And that's her. We took a walk up and down our benching row, and I was petting her, and she was looking up at me. And finally, okay, I guess we're ready. Is there anything else? Oh, yeah, my cat. And I said, nope. She's already in the carrier while I was holding her, you know. That worked about like you'd think. So I finally gave her up, and they left. We became Facebook friends, Nicole and I. Said we'd keep in touch, and we did. So this was in March. And over the next few months, you've already heard a little bit about what happened. On the way to the very next show, losing Citri. A few weeks later, gaining Bateman. House full of foster kittens. It was a busy cat time at the house. And I followed Nicole's Facebook page, and I found that very, very soon after the show, it wasn't planned, but Justina got pregnant at about 9 months old. And she was going to deliver a baby in June, or a litter. And unfortunately, it was a difficult pregnancy. Folks, just as an aside, breeders get largely a bad rap. Since I've been going to cat shows, I've been hanging out with them. And I've yet to see one that is not just over the moon adoring of their cats, and I've yet to see one that's in it for the money. They adore their cats. They take great care of them. The responsible ones, as in the ones registered in TICA and some of the other organizations, take great care of their cat's health. I mean, think of it. You've got breeding cats in the house, multiple ones at all times. If one of them gets sick, they all have to get treated. They all get regular checkups that are never skipped. If you ever wonder why a purebred cat costs so much, that's why. I mean, it's not profiteering. There is expense that goes into it. And through following the posts about Eustina's pregnancy, I began to get a feel for that. Well, if I remember correctly, the veterinarian warned Nicole that Eustina's kitten might have developmental problems. Because, you see, she wasn't carrying a litter of more than one. It was just one kitten she was carrying and would deliver. Sonogram showed that. I'm still very much learning as I go about cats. I am now. I have been from day one. I always will be. I'm going to be a lifelong learner. They fascinate me, and you never know it all. This was when I found out when a female cat is carrying only one kitten. There's probably a term for it that I don't know, but in layman's terms, the kitten keeps growing in utero to take up the available space. And this kitten did. In addition to the difficult pregnancy, that facilitated a difficult delivery. Eustina needed a C-section to birth her kitten because of its size in utero. The kitten was in danger almost right away, not healthy. The exact problems, I don't remember, probably wouldn't go into if I did. Just be aware it was never good. Never out of danger at any point to relapse. It was just closely monitored, multiple appointments. Eustina never shunned her kitten. I mean, the mothering instinct in her is very, very strong. I've seen her with foster kittens. Folks, I'm gonna here's a treat. This is unscheduled. I have a guest joining me. This is the girl we're talking about. Hey, sweetie. She just decided it was time for pets, and when she decides it is, it is. Hope you don't mind the interruption. Aww. Yeah. My sweet girl. That's right. She's so sweet. She is. Yeah. They all have the ways they like to be petted. With Eustina, it's all about the head. She likes to have behind her ears scratched and her chin scratched. And that's what she's getting right now. That's got to be it for now, sweetie. I'm actually doing something here. I'm sorry. There'll be more later. Yeah. Okay. Here you go. Okay. So, where was I? The kitten was never really healthy, and having delivered by C-section, that made nursing very painful and very difficult for Eustina. She didn't want to do that. So there was lots of eyedropper feeding and formula and trying to help the kitten get healthy and trying to help Eustina get healthy. And her kitten lived 20 days. I still remember the pictures that Nicole posted when she, of Eustina, when she came home from the vet without the kitten. Eustina's eyes just so big, and like, good to see you, Mom, but you forgot somebody. It was pretty much as heart-wrenching as it sounds. A little later, at the end of August, Nicole and I hadn't messaged or had any contact for about 3 weeks, and I got messages from her. I remember distinctly where I was when I started getting these messages. There were two of them. I was driving the truck on Highway 8094 in Northwest Indiana. This is a bottleneck on the southern end of Lake Michigan. It's how you go to and from Chicago from the east. It's 10 lanes wide, and it's always busy. And I get messages from Nicole. And you know how when you get messages, they show on your home screen? Well, I can't read the messages then because traffic is way, way, way too great, and you shouldn't do it ever. But I see there are two messages from her on the home screen. And they start out something like, I wanted you to know I've made a difficult decision. And I'm like, okay. And then a little while later, the next message comes and says, it's a difficult decision, but I have to do what I think is best. I'm sure you'll understand. Like, okay, and immediately my thought went to, what did I do? We haven't texted in about 3 weeks. She hasn't been posting as much. I think I'm in trouble somehow, but anyway, as soon as I'm able to read the messages, I do. And what they say, the first one really bums me out. She said, it's a difficult decision, but I'm not going to breed Eustina anymore. The pregnancy was too difficult, and continuing to breed her is not worth endangering her health. And folks, let me explain very quickly as an aside. For a breeder, that's a big decision. It means you lose a bloodline. I mean, purebred cats, to be officially registered, if I'm remembering correctly, their lineage has to be very definitely traceable 6 generations back. So to lose a bloodline is a big deal, especially for a new breeder. So she goes on, it's just not worth endangering her, so I've decided to pet her out, which means sell her to an owner as a household pet. Because when cats can't breed anymore, they're still perfect pets. That's the good thing about it. So she was going to sell her as a pet. And my reaction to that was, well, crap. I mean, obviously, of course, you instantly see it's the right decision. Nothing is more important than her health and well-being. But selfishly, I'll never see her again. So that is a major bummer, but you understand with no problem. Then I open the second message. And she says, of course, to anyone else, she would be $1,000. But if you agree not to breed her and to get her spayed, I'd give her to you. Because I know the two of you bonded, and it would be important to me that she go somewhere she's loved. Mic drop moment. I guess on a podcast, silence isn't a good thing generally, but silence conveys what I was feeling at the time. You could have knocked me over with a feather. The first thing I thought when thought came was, let me think real hard here. Yes. So I said I would have to check it out with my then wife, but I would be very open to that and let me get back to her. And she said, okay. I believe it was either the next day or the day after, was very soon after that, that Eustina's kitten passed. And I messaged back and I said, look, I realize this may change things. If you want to keep her, that's fine. Just let me know. She said, thanks for understanding, but I can't make any decisions. All I want to do right now is cry. And I said, yeah, that's about what time it is. Just let me know. And within a week, she messaged back and said, okay, it's still the right decision. And of course, I had checked it out with my then wife by that time. And she said, we've got a house full of cats already. And we did. In addition to ours, which was, it was 7 or 8 at that point. We also had the foster kittens. It would end up being 7 or 8. I don't know how many we were calling ours at that time exactly, but we had a mother nursing four foster kittens. We had an urban panther who we were thinking we might be adopting out through the page. And we had all of ours. And I said, look, you're absolutely right. We have a lot on our plate right now. But in a month or a little more, it'll be over. And when it's over, we'll either have Eustina or we won't. She said, yeah, I guess so. So I told Nicole, yes, we'll definitely take her. And we did. One weekend in August, Nicole brought her to us. She lives in Northwest Indiana. And made the trip over, gave her to us. And that's how we got her. It was Nicole and her youngest daughter who made the delivery for us. And after they left, Eustina was in a pretty good mood until she realized she was in a strange place. Her people had left, and she was still there. Her gentle disposition took a day or two off. Basically, she just kind of wanted to go into the shell. She hid. We had a basement in which there were plenty of nooks and crannies, and she went into them. I came down to spend time with her, and I'd pet her, and she'd like, you're talking to me like you know me. Well, I do. But it was an adjustment. If you put it on the adjustment scale, it was a 1 in mildness on a scale of 10 to being the harshest, but still it had to happen. There was a period of adjustment. I think what helped her the most was she knew there were other cats around, and she was curious about them. Because she was used to living with other cats. And they were what brought her out of her mini shell a lot quicker than people did. The foster kittens, she immediately took to them. I mean, their mother needed a break, and that's when I showed them to Eustina, because obviously the mother would have gone into protection mode. But she really perked up at the sight of the kittens. And she started to get in to know her brothers and sisters. And of course, I'm going to refer to Dakota's page. We did a live video announcing, I remember it very clearly, I said that she was the 9th and final member of our cat family. Of course, I was eager to show her in cat shows. Had to wait a while, though. The first order of business was getting her spayed. And we tried a couple of places that couldn't get us in and had to reschedule appointments. And one we just didn't feel good about, so we canceled altogether and started over. But even after she was spayed, poor girl had had so much going on in that area, she just needed time to heal up. And I gave her that time. Finally, showed her in a few shows, Back then, I owned my own truck, and I could go pretty much wherever I wanted. I showed her in shows in Denver and Salt Lake City. And that was a lot of fun. And if she's the only, I found if she's the only Maine Coon in the show, she did very well. But if there were others, and in the Midwest, there's a lot of Maine Coon breeders. And our competitive region where we live is the Great Lakes region. So a lot more direct in-breed competition. So I quit showing her and started showing the boys again, which worked out pretty well. In the next episode, I'll tell you about the next time I'm going to show Eustina. But the thing you should know about her more than any other is she might just be the gentlest soul I have ever encountered in my life. Folks, she has a shaggy coat. And every word has specific meaning when you talk about describing cats, especially purebred. What is a shaggy coat? It's a coat that is shorter on the top and sides, from the shoulders on down to the tailbone, and longer underneath on the belly. And Maine Coons have a shaggy coat. I cannot skip grooming her. I groom all my cats. Try to weekly and mostly succeed, but if not, every 10 days to 2 weeks, absolutely. She is the cat of my four that takes the longest to do. I will sometimes do her when I don't have time to do any of the other three, because with her coat, I have to stay ahead of it. She'll get mats if I don't. It's that long. And of course, because of what I just described, shaggy coat, most of the time I spend breeding her is spent on her belly and on her haunches. And that's always going to be a sensitive area for her. So, I'm very gentle in those areas, try to be, but sometimes it's inevitably uncomfortable. And when it is, if you saw it on video, you might just hate me. She is so pitiful. Wow. I mean, just breaks my heart. I say, okay, we can take a break, and she'll hug my neck. She'll hug me tight, and I'll tell her how well she's doing and won't be much longer and so on. But not Dakota, but Bateman and Marble, their reaction to the same thing might be to lash out at me. Well, especially Marble. She's a lash out kind of girl. Bateman really has to be pushed. He's come a long way before he gets to that point. But Eustina, it's just, and sometimes you slip with the groomer, the grooming tool, and you'd go harder than you mean to, or a clump will give way, and you suddenly pull, and it hurts like you don't mean it to, or you don't see coming. She's hissed at me. She has never once lashed out at me. Ever. It's just not in her DNA. I remember when she first came in the truck. I'll give each cat their own bowl of food. I'll syringe feed Dakota. because he gets special food, as I've said. The other three cats will get their own bowl of food. She'll take a few bites of hers and start heading to the other cats' bowls. At first, when she'd head to Marble's bowls, Marble would hiss and slap at her. And when she did, Eustina would backpedal and contort like, you know. And it was comical. It would look like Marble was about half her size, and here she is cowering because she doesn't want to get hit. I mean, you'd think which cat could make mincemeat of the other, but it never occurs to Eustina. It's just not in her. The other thing about her, I'd say the biggest thing, the thing that's the biggest challenge, if you can call it that. Folks, she is strikingly beautiful. She is truly a gentle soul, an old soul. Every bit as much as she is those things, she's also every bit that clumsy. It is just, sometimes it's concerning. I'll hear in the truck behind me while I'm driving, I mean, claws trying to get a grip on something, and then, and I'll say, Eustina fell. And I'll holler back at her without even looking. It's okay, sweetie. You'll be fine. I know what happened. I've described how I have cat beds where the passenger seat would usually go. She can easily jump up on the dashboard or to either of these beds or bottom bunk. Kitty cubby, top bunk, all the cats do. And folks, she has got some power in those hind legs. She can make those jumps easily. What's a jump for another cat is a glorified step for her because of how much extension she can get with that long body. But I have seen her, and she's half as tall sitting as the drawers are, the plastic storage drawers that the bed is on top of. I have seen her rear back on her hind legs to jump up on the top, which is so easy for any of the cats, and she won't make it. She'll hit the side of the chest of drawers. It's just, I'll see her, we'll be at home, and I'll see her rearing back like that to jump up on the table or a counter, and I allow the cats there. I'll say, wait, sweetie, don't hear. I'll put you up there. I don't want her making that jump. I mean, poor girl, if there's anybody you don't want to see fall down, go boom, it's her. But she just, it happens. Over and over. But she is just such a gift. I've often thought if my circumstances were different, she's clearly the cat of my four that I would make a therapy cat of. And take her on visits to hospitals, nursing homes, things like that. So many things I could do with her. And that beauty and that temperament. Sometimes I'll be carrying her, usually it's in the carrier, but sometimes at shows and sometimes on the way in from the car, to the building when we get home. I've seen kids, and it's something it shows to see her literally stop people in their tracks like she did me the first time. Happens a lot. But I'll get her out and hold her. And you know the come here motion you make with your index finger? You show the person the back of your hand and you curl it and say, like, come here. I'll tell kids especially, turn that around and make that motion, only instead of towards yourself, away from yourself, and touch her nose. And they do, and they pet her nose with their finger, and they say, wow, that is so soft. And it is. I've had one adult say, that feels almost like a horse's nose. And it does. Such a gift. No matter what else is going wrong in the world, Eustina's going right. If you like this episode, please consider sharing it on your social media platforms and writing a positive review for it where you listen to it. Both those things would really help. Until next time, love cats.